You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and
talk.
Look at him. Nothing better than my New England guy doing his New York accent. Talk.
Yeah, why?
That's Jonathan Hoffman, newly shaven. You look so much younger than you used to.
New shaven. I was in New Shaven when I was up in Connecticut.
That's true. Tomorrow we got Will Witt from PragerU is going to be calling in tomorrow, so that'll be good to catch up with Will. Wednesday we got Josh Jacobson, Beatrice, and Steve Farley. Then we got, Jeff Schweiker, Judy from Drop Your Phones. Friday, Antonori, CJ Ham from Saguaro Corners. And then next week, we got the history of Tucson radio with Ed Alexander and Sonny Jim Arnold.
Nice.
Talking about the history of country music being played on the radio in Tucson. So,
the Maverick.
We're going to get to Jonathan's op-ed that he wrote in the Dread Star yesterday about the $15 an hour, mm-hmm. Your seventh article column about
Groundhog Day.
You are the prophet on top of the building yelling about this. In this commie town of ours, it just keeps. Thank you, food bank. Jackasses. Anyway, let's.
You know what their budget is? It's like $150 million a year. They get money from the Federal Department of Agriculture, and geez.
There are so many people. I pray you stop giving money to the food bank. Anyone who's been giving money to the food bank, stop giving money to the food bank.
One thing they don't need is money, I think.
Give it to Sister Jose, Gap Ministries, or Gospel Rescue Mission. Right? They're taking care of the folks out there without trying to shove their politics down your throat. And when Michael McDonald and his board says, this is how we're going to solve poverty in Tucson, you guys lost your mind. You just exacerbated it, is what you're going to do. And I'm sure Michael McDonald, the thing that probably makes him feel a little better about such crappy decisions is he probably makes about 200 G's a year, so I'm sure he's just fine. You know, I'm sure he's living in the streets like Mother Teresa with his 200 G's. So let's go to the phones. Buddy of yours and mine. She is a libertarian. She's the grand mistress of the Libertarian Party. It's our friend Drew Heaton. Drew, good morning. Welcome to Libertarian Monday.
Good morning. Hi, my fellow fugitive. craziness. So I thought I would just share a quick experience that I had over the weekend. You were talking about second-class citizens, and so I was helping out with the nurse protest down at El Rio, right in the middle of Liberalville.
Were there nurses there?
Yes. Yeah, so there were nurses, pharmacists, you know, just your average citizen. But it's really the first time we ever had counter protesters out there. So there were about five counter protesters. And they made sure that they knew that they were doctors and pharmacists and wanted to belittle everyone else because, you know, we couldn't possibly know anything that they don't know. They had signs like, you know, cool, like honk if you're vaccinated. That was cool. But, one of them was mandates do not equal force.
And wait, it was kind of like, give him a dictionary.
Yes, exactly. But one of the pharmacists who, you know, made it a point to sort of virtue signal and belittle me knowing nothing about me, you know, she started to say how privileged I was. And I'm sick of this word getting thrown around, how privileged I am, you know, because I was standing there with a sign that simply said, you know, COVID-19 vaccine manufacturers have zero liability. They have no liability. And she was like, I'm privileged to do that. And I thought, you know, I can think of nothing more privileged than a doctor, nurse, or a pharmacist who is completely shielded from liability for administering a product that has the ability to cause death or injury. I can't think of anything more privileged than that. And as far as, you know, second-class citizens, you know, we didn't arrive here overnight. And unfortunately, we need to wake up as Americans and realize that a threat to justice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And maybe it's time that we woke up and realized that just because something doesn't affect us in a certain way doesn't mean that we should remove the rights and, you know, from other people. And the second-class citizens that have been in existence for quite some time now, and this medical road to fascism that we've been on since 1986 with the Act, is really those who've been injured by these products. And just because something doesn't affect us in that certain way, we need, as Americans, to stand up and really speak out for them who do not have a voice. That's, you know, that's really my hope. And then the last thing I'll say is, you know, come tonight. I'm going to be there at the Make It Matter Monday. But thankfully, Ed is also going to be speaking at our libertarian meeting this Tuesday. So that's another opportunity for him to have some exposure in our community, 7 p.m. Tuesday at our new headquarters, 5546 East 4th Street.
So think about this. This unholy alliance between the Democrat Party and the media, right? We have two new groups that they can go isolate and demonize, right? Unvaccinated. Mm-hmm. And if somehow you're not happy with the way the country's going, you're now leaning towards domestic terrorists. Mm-hmm. And that's...
leaning, they put it in their Homeland Security report. I don't know. It's pretty blatant.
But George Bush agrees with them, so that's good. one of the worst American presidents ever.
Don't get me started.
All right, we'll see you this evening at the Make It Matter Monday on the $15, and we'll catch up and talk some more. Okay.
Awesome. Great. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for being out there, Drew.
Okay. Bye bye.
That is Drew Heaton, the head of the Libertarian Party here in Pima County. When we come back, I do want to get to Jonathan's op-ed that he wrote in the Dread Star yesterday, and this is his 28th take on why this $15 an hour crap doesn't work. And we'll talk about it when we come back. And are you getting any hate mail yet from anybody?
Not yet.
All right. Because that's what I tell you. You got to get the hate mail. That's when you know you're over the target. So, all right. Little bell bottoms from Baby Driver. Here we go. Oh, Demiola. Guy's a witch. You got to listen to this thing when it really cranks. It's called Egyptian Danza. It's from the Casino album with one of the greatest, cheesiest covers ever of Al with his wicker throne or whatever they used to. That thing that Morticia used to sit in the
Adams family.
Jay Hoff, Christy, Simone, and yourselves were hanging out and we're talking about Jonathan. I knew you were rumored that this column was coming out. And actually, it's perfect timing. The day before the Make It Matter Monday that's happening tonight, please join us at the La Quinta on Alvernon. Go to TucsonBusinessOwners.org. Yes?
5:30.
TucsonBusinessOwners.org. $15 to get in and support the no effort. And find out, we got a guy from Flagstaff coming down who's going to talk to you about the pain that it's caused in Flagstaff. So I don't know if Michael McDonald from the Southern Arizona, who's he's coming, but, you know, he should, from the Southern Arizona Food Bank. So tell me about your column, sir.
Well, there's an interesting angle to the whole thing. You know, we talked about how it's, you know, Grover Norquist on this show recently pointed out that the roots of minimum wage go back to racism, and it was a tool. And I think the
wrong
first
one. Oh, let's say it again. What's the roots of this, of minimum wage?
Racism.
Thank you. Sorry.
And the first federal one that everybody loves, you know, everybody loves Roosevelt, but the first federal minimum wage was a gift to the unions because the unions didn't accept black workers at the time, so black workers could work for less than what the unions were charging, and that was unacceptable because they'd lose work. So they came out with a minimum wage that matched what the unions would charge. Okay, so that way the people who are not union members who could normally undercut them price wise could no longer do that because they made it illegal for them to compete with the unions price wise. And so that's your roots of the minimum wage effort.
Right.
And what it does, and it's still putting the racism angle aside for a moment, what it still does today, regardless of race, sex, gender, or national origin, if you're unskilled and want to break into the job market, you can't, because the minimum wage will price you out. What it does, and this was reinforced to me by some of the feedback I got from an earlier column, like, I had one guy who said he owns a business that's labor intensive. And he says, I don't get why people don't understand the importance of a training wage. Because when you get hired, let's say you you know how to operate a Frabistat, and that's key to this particular job that...
Is that a real thing?
No. Oh. That the guy is...
I was questioning my own intelligence there. I was like...
No, see if you use... It kind of reinforces the point if you don't get distracted by specifics. So if you have people who are already trained in operating the Frabistat, you can go right to the main wage. You can look at their resume and you can say, okay, great. You go over and you operate it over here. But if you have a guy who says, well, I don't know, you know, I don't know how to do this. He said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to hire you at this wage, which is lower,
right.
And if you can pick it up and learn how to do it, then we'll move you into the regular wage. Well, what the minimum wage does, it says, sorry, you can't hire anybody and train them. You can only hire people that have already had experience, already know how to do the job. So all the poor people who maybe are unskilled, want to be skilled, want an opportunity to learn, you just cut them out. You just said, no, you can't do that. If you don't already have it, if you're not a union member, or if you don't already know the skill, you can't learn on the job anymore.
So we're saying that something that was based out of racism that's now become the new darling of the social virtue warriors of the world.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, what do we found out on what does it actually do to the workers themselves when these things happen?
The really poor, unskilled worker who needs a start, you don't get that anymore because you're priced out.
So we learned from the Harvard Business Review that basically the take-home pay, you get fewer hours. So what will happen is when you have Harvard Business Review, what will happen is they say that the employer will figure out how to do it without you, mm-hmm. right? Or, now check this out, because they want to stay, they might hire a couple of extra workers, but they give you less hours, or everyone gets less hours. So it says for every dollar of increase of minimum wage, this is Harvard Business Reviews, we found out that the total number of employees increased while the total number of hours worked by each employee decreased by 21%.
Hmm.
All right. So you're going to have a 21% drop in hours, which of course is 8 hours, around 8 hours on a 40-hour work week, right? So what my thing is let's say I was, this will be the fun part of this if this passes. There's a worker who says, you know something? I want to work for less. What happens then? That would be hilarious. I would love to see the city of Tucson, right? So let's say you have a company that has 5 workers, right? And they're all making $13.50 an hour, right? But when they say, we're going to, now this thing kicks in, and the owner's like, dude, we're going to have to let one or two of you go to make this happen. What if the employees say, they almost do a spiritual unionization and say, we'd all like to stay for $13.50 an hour? What happens then? That would be fascinating.
You don't have a right to make your own deal with your employer anymore.
Right.
Some schmuck is going to gratuitously insert himself into your business.
Right.
If I may share a personal anecdote.
You can. We love personal anecdotes.
Many moons ago, when I dropped out of the U of A, this would be the late 70s, I moved in with a friend and his girlfriend. They had an extra bedroom.
Wow.
So we were sharing this apartment. And so I needed money. I needed money for food. I needed money to, you know, pay for my lodging. And I didn't have a job. I'm new to Tucson. What do I do? Well, a friend of mine said, well, you know, there's day labor opportunities. You can go to moving companies and you can get work unloading and loading trucks.
Right.
So I go down to this one. I'm not going to say who it is because I ended up not liking them. But I went to this one moving company where a guy said you can get day labor work.
Right.
And it was great. It was like out of the movie. You know, you go there and it's winter morning and all these, you know, about 10, 15 guys are standing around shivering outside the loading dock, right? And everybody's milling around. And then the door goes open. Chunk. There's one guy and three other guys with clipboards. The guys with the clipboards are drivers, and the one guy without the clipboards is a dispatcher. The dispatcher looks around at the crowd and he goes, you with him? And the guy would run up, jump on the dock, go
next
to the
driver. It's like that scene from On the Waterfront where they pick who gets to come in and work for the day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they didn't pick Terry Malloy that day.
Oh.
Just remember. So
they go, you and you with him. And they go through this routine. And then the helpers get assigned to the drivers. Door comes down. Everybody else goes home. Now imagine if they pick the helpers, they get them with the driver, and all of a sudden, some guy comes running out of nowhere, jumps on the dock and says, how much are you paying him?
Right.
What do you think would happen? The guy would say, get lost. And if the guy said, you should not work with him unless he's paying you, that guy would be beaten up and left in a trash can because the guys
That's needed, not how we want to do things.
The guys, yeah, but in the real world, guys wanted work. They were getting it from this employer. Maybe it wasn't the best job. Maybe it was the best rate. But, you know, it's an in. And if you do really well, you can get to rigor work. You can go to a better employer and get more money. That's how it works.
When we come back, I'm going to give you the number. If the worker's at $13.50 and then they go to $15 an hour and then they cut them 8 hours, we're going to tell you how much C.J. Boyd, Rex Scott, Adelita Grijalva, Michael McDonald, and the Community Food Bank wants to screw the poor guy out of their money a year. So, and we'll take your phone call, 790-2040.
I could listen to this all morning, Chris.
Amen, brother. Little Smokey Joe's La La from the Baby Driver soundtrack. Speaking of Joe, he'll be on at the top of the hour. Brother Joe, Blue Chip Planning. What a professional transition there, Chris. It was fabulous. We're hanging out with Jonathan Hoffman, Christopher DeSimone. No, Tarius E.Q. After a triumphant NAU Lumberjack victory over a pathetic U of A football team.
I was actually rooting for him about midway through the third quarter. You could see it. And it meant way more to NAU than eking out a slight victory would have meant for the Cats. So good for them. Good for them. They played a good game.
We are working on a new No Pity for the Kitty billboard up on I-10 funded by all that big fat timber business money from from the Lumberjacks. Is Billy B still there? 790-2040. Billy B, what's shaking? Bill number one.
Good morning, guys. Never forget one thing. When you start talking about a minimum of something, that by default means that there's a maximum in mind from the people that are presenting that. And if you look at it, a lot of folks that talk about minimum wage are the same folks that want to make sure that people that earn over a certain amount of money are taxed so that that money is never actually seen by them. So that's number one. But you guys touched on something before the break that I think is key in all of this. And that's the idea of accountability. You both mentioned something about how it's no longer between the employer and the employee what that employee earns for doing the work that is required. I think that is at the heart of what all of this revolves around. You've taken something that in a normal course of going about your day would be a straightforward contract. I go do X amount of work, a service, provide a product, whatever it happens to be, to you as a person willing to exchange for that labor and that effort a value in terms of dollars back to me. That's a conversation and a contract between you and I. Why anyone else needs to be involved in that conversation is, frankly, ludicrous.
Tell me,
but we've reached a...
I liked your text message about this. What did you write in your text message to me about racism angle on this?
Well, you know, the fact that we have seen over the last few years anything that even has a hint of being racist or having its roots somewhere along the line in a racist policy at any point in its history has to be torn down and eradicated. And if the reality is that a minimum wage is something that unions, employers, the government, I don't care who it is, had racist intentions in setting up the minimum wage, then those same folks that have been screaming bloody murder for the last I don't know how many years about end racism, end anything, and eradicate it from all of human history that's associated with racism must be destroyed. Then the minimum wage should have been tossed out a long time ago if they're being consistent. We know they're not, but, you know, hello.
No, you got the ding for nailing it. So does that mean ward-only voting at the city of Tucson needs to go out because that was racist too?
That would be the logical implication of what Rahina and Laney and a lot of the others have been talking about for a few years now, but... you know, holding them accountable for what they say is was outlawed in those emergency declarations a year or so ago. So who knows anymore?
Imagine if Hoffman, I'm so glad you're here today. Imagine if you wrote a column about the racist origins of ward-only voting. Right? Because
anti-Latino.
Right. So basically, right, isn't that they have ward only voting because they wanted to freeze out Latinos from being on the city council?
It's not ward only voting.
It's citywide, sorry. Voting. Thank you. We have citywide voting because they wanted to freeze out Latinos from being on the council. Right?
Yeah, because you had Latino neighborhoods and Anglo neighborhoods, and you had more Anglos and Latinos, so if you had citywide instead of ward only, then you have white people everywhere.
Now, I know Sarah will never let you get away with this headline, and Bill Beard will never keep a straight face when I say this. Okay?
I was going to say, how much meditation do his editors need for that to pass muster?
Here's the headline if you want hair on fire, right? And running down the street in their Saul Alinsky underwear, okay? Is City of Tucson Democrats benefit from Jim Crow voting law? That's all right. Imagine if you wrote that.
I think I mentioned that in the column already. I'll have to look it up, but I was talking about, you know.
Because in the end, the reason why in the last so many years you have no Republicans on there are Jim Crow voting laws of citywide.
Yep.
That's where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bill, we agree with you. These remnants of racism need to be torn down.
The racist roots of citywide voting. Dun, dun, dun.
You know, if we had a mayor that put a Black Lives Matter banner on the taxpayer dollars on the building, that means she's really against racism. So we'll figure it out. So,
yes.
All right, my friend. Thanks for the call as always. Have a good day.
Take care.
790-2040. Let's go to our working guy, Al, out in the pools of Tucson. Al, what's going on, buddy?
Not much. My comment is, you know how they're looking for people, and I can actually see you guys today if you stick your hand out the window and wave to me. But you know how they have the qualifications for stuff, and if you don't fit in the little algorithm box, it doesn't matter. I mean, my wife wanted to change jobs just to try something, and they wouldn't choose her, and, we need people, but she didn't fit in the little box.
So what you're saying is you hear all of these stories about people are desperate for employees, but you're saying they're not that desperate?
No, well, if you don't fit in their little algorithm box, which are, I would name names, but I don't want to name larger, say, store companies.
Right.
And, fill out an application. We need people. So, and then you find out you don't fit in our little brainwash box. That, I mean, it would seem like they'd want people.
I don't know. They have their little, you're right, they have their logarithms, they have the algorithm, excuse me, they have their, what they need, right? And there's certain things that they're looking for that doesn't make any sense if you don't get the call back, but I guess it's been working for these guys for years, so this is where we're at.
Exactly.
So,
well, you gentlemen have a good day, and no on the minimum wage, because it's still moving the decimal point to nowhere.
Like it. All right, appreciate
the
call.
Good day,
keep
guys.
Working
thank
out there,
you.
Buddy. 790.
Yeah, I am, thank you.
I know you are. 790-2040 is the phone number. Let's go to break, visit some great sponsors. Hoffman and DeSimone, Notorious ESQ, Brother Joe at the top of the hour. We're jamming out. Just start from the beginning. You'll be just fine. It's the we're playing a little bit of the old Baby Driver soundtrack. And this is, of course, the incredible Bongo Band. Which, of course, did a song called Bongolia, for God's sakes. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 of the voice. This could be a good, if we were going to do like another top of the hour tune, Nowhere to Run by Martha would be pretty good, too. No, not Martha McSally. Did you know she's an A-10 pilot?
Who?
Martha McSally.
And the Vandellas?
Yeah, that's right. I did appreciate the Emmys last night, where everyone was running around with no masks. It was so good. All these people.
There's no hoi polloi there, so they're not going to get the disease.
We're all vaccinated. Now, I will tell you that Jason Sudeikis and a couple of people and Ted Lasso won for Best Comedy Series. Now, I'm a soccer guy, right? And I'm caught up to date on both seasons, and it's a good show, whether or not you like soccer or not. Funny as heck, and a lot of heart, more heart than I ever thought it would be. So, are you watching it?
I'm not, but a friend of mine, we got together with a buddy for dinner on Friday, and he was telling us, extolling the virtues of that show. He said he really likes it, so I got to figure out a way to get it without watching Apple TV.
I will tell you that Chris may be possibly borrowing a buddy's account to watch it.
Okay.
The sharing economy, as we like to say. So I talked about earlier, Instagram has now gotten rid of, you're not allowed to hashtag with the words natural immunity. And the other one, I forgot, you know who I forgot to talk to? She's not one of my favorite acts, as you know, if you've heard me talk about music. But who knew a paragon of some sort of truth was going to be freaking Nicki Minaj?
Is that a person?
Ah! That's a great line by Hoffman right there. Is that a person? Yes, it's a person. She is a vivacious pop star. And she talks about basically someone... Someone in her circle, family, friends had a bad reaction to the vaccine.
Oh, I heard about this. It's rather embarrassing reaction from what I hear.
I mean, it was what happened to this friend of hers, it's just nuts, okay? And what happened to this poor guy, okay? I know. Oh, no, they grew. They grew. Matt wanted to know if they shrunk or grew. It was his testicles. We can say testicles on the air. That's scientific.
That's a Greek hero, isn't it, Testicles?
Absolutely. He helped Theseus defeat the Minotaur. Now, who knew our Greek mythology would play so well? So anyway, she said, look, my cousin's testicles grew abnormally after taking the vaccine.
And the White House called her up to console her.
Right. Well, not to console her, to re-educate her.
Oh.
Because she said, maybe you need to take a just make sure it's the right thing for you. I don't think she even came out and said, no vaccine. I don't think she said that. But Nikki got out of line. And she got pounded on. Now, of course, if Republicans pounded on a young black pop song, we would be all racists. All right? Everyone else does it. If the Democrats or the media does it, right, then they're just, you know, they're concerned friends and family. But if we banged on this show, or imagine if Trump banged on Nicki Minaj for something she tweeted. Racism, Jim Crow, white hoods and torches. We would have it all. It's good stuff.
Mm.
So who knew Nicki Minaj would be the would get pounded by these folks. So 790-2040 is the phone number. Are we getting this Frank guy on or not? What are we doing? All right. One of those shy guys. We did have a stabbing on Speedway in Magnolia over the weekend, so we did not get to add to the body count, happy to say, here in Tucson, Arizona, so that's a good thing. The FDA advisory panel rejects the widespread Pfizer booster shots. If you remember, two top people from the FDA actually quit because of the Biden administration's hard push on the booster shot.
Oh.
Just to tell you, the vote Friday, there's 19 people on the panel. It got shot down 16-3 on the booster.
Yikes.
And check this out. The FDA panel of outside experts voiced frustration that Pfizer provided very little data on safety of the extra shots. So after we just heard that commercial on the radio with that girl's like, whose voices is like, oh, the medical community says it's the highest standard, right? And then I have the FDA in a 16-3 vote says they're not thrilled with Pfizer's data on the actual safety of booster shots.
It's never going to end, Chris. There's always going to be another shot you need. There's always going to be another variant. There's always going to be a lockdown. There's always going to be cynical, heartless presidents diverting medicine away from red states to blue states. Did you hear about that?
Say that one more time.
Cynical, heartless presidents of the United States.
Right.
Redirecting medicines away from red states to blue states.
So it's so funny about that. So we're talking about the monoclonal antibody infusions, right? Which,
yes.
Again, I had this big thing about 10 days ago because no one's talking about it, right? There's several spots in Tucson. If you get the Rona and you go, even idiot Dr. Fauci says there's an 85% success rate that you basically get a drip for an hour, right? And then you can come back. You can have your antibodies. Not that we talk about antibodies. So anyway, they don't want to talk about antibodies because it takes away from the vaccine, right? And so the only reason it came on my radar is AP writes that crap story because Ron DeSantis did a press conference in Orlando that said, hey, we have these things. And if you get sick, this could prevent you from, I don't know, dying. Okay. And so what happens is the AP writes a story because Regeneron, who's the pharmaceutical company that does this, right? They, their parent company in the past gave money to DeSantis for one of his campaigns. So of course, AP, instead of saying, oh, it's great, here's one of the bigger states of the union pushing something to save lives, the story is he's doing payback for a donor, right? And so Ron DeSantis wrote a letter to the head of AP and said, you guys have lost your stinking minds.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it came on my radar, right? And then all of a sudden, I Ducey came out, 2 weeks ago and said, oh, there's going to be money released out to hospitals to do more antibody infusion. And then this story comes out that
whoever's running Joe Biden.
Thank you. Whoever's running Joe Biden says, oh, we're going to take away the antibody infusion from presidents, governors who don't talk nice about how we do our things, right? Even though we don't promote it in the first place.
Yes.
Right?
They decided that all along, up to a point, they were doing the usual thing of sending the stuff where it's needed most, which is usually how you do with, that's what you do with medicine. And all of a sudden, overnight, they went from that to, well, no, we're not going to send as much to these places like Florida and Texas and Alabama because they've been getting like 70% of the supply. Well, they've been getting 70% of supply because they have 70% of the problem because they have like a lot of old people and stuff, right? So they said, no, we're going to be equitable now, equitable. So equitable has become the catchword that can mean anything you want. It's the key that unlocks every door. They say, we're going to do it equitable now because we wouldn't want to short Oklahoma just to
if
send
if the
more
Democrats
to
were serious about saving lives from Rona, they would be. I would see local Democrats like Rahina and these folks at the local antibody infusion clinic going, hey, look, if you get sick, blah, 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 if you go here, here's a way to save your life. That's weird. And there has been no side effects from the antibody infusion. So if you're one of those people who's scared to get the vaccine, but you'd like to do, I know, something crazy, save your life, you can go to the antibody infusion clinic. But it doesn't fit the narrative and it doesn't fit the vaccine finances. Jonathan, thank you, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
Have a super rest of your week.
Great day.
Brother Joe, coming up next.